Hey everyone! Welcome to Double D's podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to our first episode called The American Dream. Today we're going to be talking about where we're from and how we came to America. Parental advisory. Don't show this to your mom.
Or grandma.
Because there's a lot of cussing going on here. So be careful.
Let's hit it.
All right. Let's talk about where you're from and how you came to America. If you feel comfortable sharing.
Sure. My name is Dasha. I'm 22. I've lived in the United States for almost 5 years. I moved here from Ukraine in 2019. I'm a student and part-time employee. And I'm just here vibing with my bestie, and I'm gonna let her introduce herself.
Thank you, Dasha. I'm Diana, or Diana, as my parents call me. I was born in Uzbekistan, which is a small country in Central Asia, south of Russia. I moved to Russia with my family when I was 5, and then we lived in Russia for 9 years, and I moved here in 2018. So,
how exciting.
Yeah, I know.
And life brought us together. And that's going to be another episode.
Yeah, exactly. So, we moved to America because we were playing green card lottery for 4 years. On the fourth or third year, we finally won. I know a lot of Americans don't even know that there is such thing as a green card lottery. And
they're like, what the hell?
Yeah, like you playing a lottery, yeah. It's like money, but it's a American residence.
Yeah.
How the fuck does that work?
Yeah, exactly.
Funny thing, Trump actually tried to ban that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He banned a lot of things.
Yeah, he banned a lot of things. And green card lottery didn't sound really too good for people who don't really like immigrants. But essentially, it's 50,000 visas for a green card that are being distributed among people who just apply for this
millions
lottery.
Millions of people apply for this.
Exactly. And millions of people from a lot of countries, except for several countries that have been banned.
Probably Russia is banned now.
Russia is banned now, yes. So you can't really do that. But we applied as Uzbek citizens back in the day. So, because we never got a Russian citizenship, like, ever.
God forbid.
It was useless anyways. Like, there was no point. And my parents never really wanted to settle in Russia. Yeah. I remember they told me, they're like, Diana, study Italian. Because if you pass the Italian language test, you can go to college in Italy for free.
And find yourself a 40-year-old Italian hottie.
And then marry him, get Italian citizenship, and bring us over
there. I don't think
you
would marry soon because you would live with his mom for the longest time.
Exactly. Italy is so, like,
yeah.
A lot of people really struggling to find jobs there.
Yeah.
But
I have an Italian co-worker, and he said that the demographics in Italy is just... It's just there's a ton of old people. That's why there's not a lot of jobs, and it's just mostly living off traveling. So
it's like Europe's Florida.
Exactly.
People go there because it's warm.
Plus, Lake Como for the weddings.
Yeah, exactly.
She did a Lake Como painting. She didn't even realize it.
I did realize. I searched for it, but I didn't know it was recognizable because you walked over to
this
it.
This is like, for all the Star Wars nerds, y'all. This is Padme and Anakin's wedding, and I will force her to add Anakin and Padme and the drones in there. So keep posted.
Cute. You're such a nerd. I am. So how did you come to America?
So I came to America with my family in 2019 because my sister actually lived here since 2013. She has already become a citizen and everything, and she has had kids here. So it's just the way we came here to reunite the family. And the funny thing is I finished high school. I got my diploma, and literally the next morning we had a flight to Atlanta.
Wow.
And it was crazy how it was just so fast, you know, like it was literally my graduation, my prom, like, ceremony, and then we literally had to walk to another store to get, you know, those pillows for the airplane.
Yes, yeah.
And we literally walked there the night before.
Yeah.
And then, like, at 5 a.m. next morning, we had a flight, and all my friends came to see me, and there were a lot of tears. And
same.
It was rough, and then it was the worst because I had to eat because I was hungry in the morning and cry, and I hate crying and eating at the same time.
Oh my God.
But it happens pretty often. So it was not a pleasant morning, y'all. And then My friends made me those little letters, and they said, you have to read this on an airplane while you're flying.
Uh-huh.
And I was sleeping on and off in the airplane, and then one time I woke up and I was like, okay, I'm reading this. And then I had another crying session. And yeah, so that's how I spend my first month in the United States crying.
Honestly, nobody really talks about how depressing it is. I feel like it's so elementary. People are like, no shit, that's depressing to come to another country where you don't know the language. And like all of your friends, especially at this same age of being a teenager, you like leave literally your entire life behind you and you come to America. And then all these people say like, oh my God, Russian apartments are so depressing. But I came to America, all these suburbs and subdivisions look depressing to me and dystopian.
Literally, literally.
Like, it's so, it's literally, all the houses look the same. They're so clean. For no reason. And that, for some reason, is, like, so uncanny to me. And you have to have a car, especially here in Georgia, you have to have a car to move everywhere. And obviously, I was 13 when we came here, so I had no license, no car, and I couldn't go outside. I was just at home with my brother fighting constantly because we were bored, we missed our country. So, yeah, nobody really talks about how, like, first 2 months, at least, you're gonna be in a lot of pain and a lot of, like, coping with the fact that you're in a different country now. Absolutely. How long was your flight, by the way, to Atlanta?
It was probably, so I had a layover in New York. That's when we first landed, and we had the all the checks and stuff with the immigration security organization or whatever, and checking our paperwork and stuff. Getting our first foot into the U.S. like residence, because we were already residents since the day we got here. It was just a lot of things happening. And tell me, I remember you told me this story where you just put your foot in the United States soil. You had this funny thing with your dad when they interrogated him.
So my dad got interrogated by the FBI or Homeland Security. I don't know who it was. It was one of those agencies. As soon as we came to America, this was the warm welcome from New York. So all of you New Yorkers, shout out, because this was insane. It was really stressful. We arrived probably like midday, like probably noon on January 31st or 30th. Goodness,
you remember.
Yeah, because we celebrate it every year. So we arrived on January 30th. 31st is when we arrived in Georgia because we took a car from New York to Georgia. That's another story, how our tire broke and we didn't have cell
phones.
And
the dogs.
And the dog, yeah. We have one dog at that time that we brought from Russia. But anyways, we arrived to New York from Russia. The flight was already delayed in Moscow because of the fucking Moscow airlines that are kind of, shitty. So we the flight was already 12 hours. We come to New York, and instead of us going through the customs like regular people, we go to this little office where they keep all the people that just arrived, either with like false documents or like some other shit that the government has on them. And my dad got pulled aside by officers, and they started asking him all these questions. Obviously, my dad didn't speak English at that time. He went to university in St. Petersburg for a little bit, but that's not enough English to be able to communicate to a fucking officer. Like, you can't...
Fucking FBI.
Or Homeland Security, I don't know who it was. I mean, they were doing their job, because apparently what happened was, is 2 months prior to our arrival, an Uzbek citizen came to America with a green card visa. He won a green card lottery just like we did. And he committed a terror act in the streets of New York by driving a bus into, like, a group of people. So,
that's insane, y'all.
Yeah, and I feel like that got into the system, and that's how they, looked that we came, and they saw Uzbek nationals with a green card visa. We must investigate. No matter that there's two little kids with the parents.
There's probably not that much Uzbeks in New York
this time of the year. That's true. transfer in January.
With green cards.
With green cards. Yeah, it's pretty rare. So, and we had a dog too, which was confusing to me. I was like, my dad has a wife, two kids, and a dog. You really think we came here to like commit shit? Like we came here to, anyways, I mean, it's just the job that they had to get done. And the Moscow Airlines are supposed to provide translators. That's how it usually happens, is when you're getting interrogated or like you're getting inspected. I shouldn't say interrogated. I should say like you get, they do an investigation. You get investigated. The airlines from your home country are supposed to provide you with a translator. Aeroflot, which is the Moscow Airlines or the Russian Federal Airlines, were really stalling the process because they were slammed with a lot of shit that was going on. So my dad didn't get a translator for 2 hours. The guy was just talking to him in English. My dad didn't understand. And my dad...
He was like threatening you, bitch.
Yeah.
What did you do? Are you here to terrorist?
Yeah, are you a terrorist? Do you know this guy? And he showed my
dad... Do you know Bin Laden?
A picture of like a bearded fucking guy. And he's like, do you know him? Do you know him? And then he told my dad, give me your phone. And my dad gave him his phone, give him the passcode. And the guy was like, where's Facebook on your phone? My dad's like, I don't have Facebook on my phone. It's just for phone calls. And the American officer was like, what? You don't have Facebook on your phone? How does that work? And my dad's like, no, I don't. And then they found out that we applied for a tourist visa back in the day that we didn't get, by the way.
Yeah.
We tried to get a tourist visa for Christmas to go to Manhattan, but we didn't get it. And so, and he found out, he's like, what is this phone number that you put on here? It's an American number. My dad's like, it starts with +1. It's American. I don't know. I don't have this phone number. And then my dad remembered that it's because he put a phone number on a tourist visa application of a hotel that we were going to.
That makes sense.
So that's why it was in their system. So basically it took us like 4 hours or 5 hours to get out of there and go get a rental car from Budget. That was another story because I was the only one who like spoke decent English in my family because of school, and I was helping my dad rent a car, and the guy was like, we need your driver's license. So we gave them our Russian driver's license.
Yeah.
And then we got this Hyundai, I don't remember what it, I think it's Santa Fe, Hyundai Santa Fe. It's a pretty big SUV. But our bags didn't fit in there, along with our dog.
Oh my god.
So we had to get a bigger one. We got a Ford Flex. It's just a fucking
Ford Flex
bus.
Is a fucking brick.
It's big. It's a bus. So we got that. All of our bags fit. And my dad never drove automatic before, because everyone in
Russia... Are you serious?
Yeah, he never drove automatic.
That's crazy.
He just drove mechanical car, because we had an old car, but also, like, a lot of people in Russia just drive mechanical, or, like, a stick, as they call it. I had to teach him, because I drove automatic once in a village
with
my friends. It was just a Japanese car, which the wheel was on the right side, and the guy taught me how to drive automatic, which is just, you just put it on D, that's drive.
Exactly.
R is reverse, that's it. Yeah, that's what I told my dad, and, you know, then we got out, we picked up my mom, my brother, and our dog, and then we drove for a day and a half from New York to Georgia, and the more south you go, we would always go to McDonald's because of free Wi-Fi, and we wanted to contact our realtor because we rented a townhouse prior to arriving, so we were in contact with her constantly, and we would go to McDonald's and we would ask for tea. In New York, they would just give you hot tea with a packet. And we go down, starting Virginia, they start just giving you
sweet
tea with ice. And I'm like, what? Why is there ice everywhere? Why do you need ice? It's January. What the... Like, so, yeah, we arrived to an empty townhouse at night. Our dog surprisingly just didn't feel like she experienced any change at all. We were all jet lagged.
Like, jet lag? What's that, bitch? Yeah. I sleep all day, I'm not long. It don't matter to me.
Exactly. I'm just here with my mom and dad. Like, what's the, you know, she didn't really experience anything. So
she was like, FBI?
Homeland Security? Oh yeah, she was barking in the airport.
Are you serious? And they were like, freaking Russian dog.
Wait, my mom, while my dad was in the office being investigated, my mom, she's like, our dog hasn't had water or food in 13 hours. She probably pooped and pissed in her crate. We need to check her out because it's been delayed and now it's been, you know, hours. And, like, we need to give her water because before she gets dehydrated. So she comes over to me and she's like, Diana, I need you to come over to those officers over there. And I need you to tell them we need to find our dog. She needs to drink water. I'm like, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't speak English that well. And it's the first time I've ever seen a black person. And I'm like, I can't just... They look like they're straight from the movies. There were two big black police guys. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was, like, you know, experiencing so many... Exactly. Like Will Smith. I was experiencing so many emotions. And I was like, I can't speak English. I can't do this. I'm not going to understand them because we learned British English.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to understand them.
Would you fancy some tea?
Would you fancy some tea?
That's going to be another episode, y'all. We're just going to speak British accent. We're going to have tea party. We're going to have a tea party. Please comment down below if you would like a tea party.
I'm not speaking British accent for an hour.
I'm going to. It's okay.
You're good at it, yeah.
She will speak Russian accent for an hour long. I will speak British. We'll see how it goes.
I'll have Shop Goshan good.
Yeah, and I'll have a crown.
A crown. But yeah, so she tells me to come over there, and I'm like, no. So she's like, fine, I'll do it myself. So she stands up, she goes over to those officers, and she looks at them, and she's like, I from in Moscow, and she's like, my dog, and she points at a water cooler, and she says, Хочет пить, which means wants water, and the guy was like, your dog, oh, there is a dog outside, she's been barking at everybody, I don't know
who she
is, yes, and I was like, yes, it's our dog, can we get her, she needs water, and then so they walked us to her. And I look at them, I'm like, she no friendly. She no friendly. She gonna bite. So they're like, okay, you got it. So we took her, we gave her some water.
Was it Oscar?
What dog was it?
Oh, Mary hates me.
Yeah, Mary hates everyone.
She ain't a friendly dog.
No, she's not. Because she was teased by little kids back in Russia. So, aww. Yeah. But that's, I mean, a lot of immigrants just have, like, a normal little flight story.
Yeah.
Like, flying, you know, a layover in New York and then to Atlanta. I don't know why we didn't do that. And then our tire fucking popped in Virginia.
Oh, my God.
And we had to,
Virginia's for lovers.
It's really, really beautiful. I love
it. It is very beautiful. Yeah. I would move to Virginia so easily.
Me
just
too.
Get me a house there.
Yeah.
Anyone wants to sponsor?
Real Estate Virginia.
Real Estate Virginia. We are open. Very open.
To sponsorship. Bro sponsors. College students. Yes. Please. I need to pay rent and tuition now.
Absolutely. Yes. I did not have a crazy, like, story of how I came here. I just remember crying the whole time. But
yeah,
even though I was the only one speaking English decently from three of us,
yeah,
me and my parents, I don't even remember us having any, like, difficulty navigating things and stuff. Plus, we had a person or a guide.
You did?
Tied to us who would... New York airport is huge.
Yeah.
Whoever has not been in New York airport is huge. There's two. I don't remember which one we went to, but we had this guy tied to us, and he guided us to our terminal and our gate, and he gave us food. That's why I've tried cornbread for the first time, and it sucked. I'm sorry. It was not fresh baked cornbread. It was like the packaged cornbread, so maybe the fresh baked, whoever makes the wrong cornbread, please don't judge me, but I did not like it. Also, I was my jet lag is very weird because I get sick as well, like, and I can't really eat anything because I'm nauseous, like, everything makes me just, you know, not feel good.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really eat anything for the first week, and it sucked.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, neither, honestly.
Yeah. I have a very, much. Like, weird symptoms of jet lag.
Also, the food in America tasted so different.
Exactly.
The pizza, I was like, why does it taste... I'm sorry, I sound such a bitchy European right now, but, like, literally even Coke in Georgia, where it came from, tasted like plastic. So... Yeah, I don't know. I know there is a lot of shit that's banned in Europe that's not banned in America that people can eat, but you know, not to be as much a European, but the food sucks here.
I cannot empathize enough. Okay, Coke was fine to me. I've tasted Coke,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, okay, I accept it. But Fanta?
I tried it, and I never tried it again in 6 years.
Fanta is the one soda that we would actually buy in Ukraine that my family would actually love.
Yeah.
And here, it just sucks. I'm sorry.
It does.
I'm sorry, too. I'm not seeing a lot of people who are drinking Fanta.
Me neither.
Here. I see Sprite, Coke.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
I don't really
Pepsi.
See...
Dr. Pepper.
Also, it is a very slippery slope to say Coke wrong. And I know there is a joke around of Russian people saying Coke wrong.
My dad used to say
Coke. I hope it don't slip that slippery
a large
slope.
We're children. We're little kids. But yeah, it's... Yeah, the food is just, you know, I used to miss Russian food when I came here, and we didn't really know that there are Russian stores around, especially
That's
in Atlanta.
True.
In Alpharetta, there's a few Russian stores, there's big Buford Farmers Market down there that, you know, you can go to. There's actual Russian people working there, some Ukrainians as well, so, yeah,
there's a pretty big like Slavic community in Georgia generally. Like,
yeah,
I know that California, like Washington, that like especially since the war started, there's many Ukrainians coming to the United States, and
yeah,
Georgia community, Slavic
grew.
Community in Georgia really grew,
yeah,
since then.
Yeah.
So you can see, I mean, if you're in Georgia, you've
yeah.
probably seen some. People talking in any Slavic language here and
yeah.
there.
And
so.
I hate when they confuse it.
Like yeah.
You're Russian?
Russian?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, especially after the war, it was a little awkward. But
yeah.
I seen some Polish people, too.
I have
to. Costco.
Back when I worked at Kohl's, I had a Polish customer, and she was saying something to me in Polish, and I completely understood her. Like, I think one of my other coworkers brought me. It was like an older couple, and she brought them to me. She was like, "Do you understand what they're saying?" And I did, and I was able to help them. So I was like, "Well,
That's
Polish
amazing.
Is very similar
yeah.
to Ukrainian, and there's a lot of similarities."
Yeah.
So I think I could. I mean, I could live probably in Poland, but still, I think it would be easier to learn Polish, or you know, Polish people understand Ukrainian, so that works out.
Especially Western Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember I used to work at Victoria's Secret, and I was at the register, and this lady comes over to me, and she has a very thick Slavic accent. So I asked her, I'm like, "Where are you from?" She's like, "Oh, I'm from Slovakia." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And I couldn't really understand what she was saying in her language. So, like, we just kept saying, you know, speaking in English. She knew a few words in Russian, actually.
Yeah.
But my manager, she's pretty, like, she doesn't like immigrants. And she's this, like, long, blonde type bitch that was, like, you know, very entitled for
yeah.
no reason. Like, you're just a manager at this, like, Victoria's Secret store.
Shout
like,
out to Victoria's Secret.
No.
For no good reason.
For
no good reason.
And she, after that lady left and I helped her with the discounts and everything, the manager comes over to me and she's like, "I don't understand why she can't just learn English." And I'm like, "Do you speak any other languages?" I hate when people say that. And it's
so hateful.
It is. And it sounds like I, at first I thought, oh my God, nobody's gonna be hating on... like, Hispanic people having a Hispanic accent and not having perfect English grammar. Like, why would you hate on them
yeah.
if you can't speak Spanish yourself?
Yeah.
Like, yes, folks take Spanish here in school and high school, but they forget about it.
Yeah.
In, like, Europe, we take a foreign language starting second grade.
I took first grade.
I started second grade, and it's, you know, and... you grow with it, kind of. It's
yeah.
like a second language, almost, except you don't really speak outside of class. But at the same time, we retain a lot of information. Then we have to do all these governmental tests for graduation and stuff like that, which is just a completely
Sucks.
Different discussion.
Money laundering.
Yeah. I never took one, thankfully, because I moved here when I was in eighth grade. Halfway through eighth grade. God bless you. I couldn't do that. Yeah.
One of my childhood traumas.
Yeah, a lot of... teenagers, especially in my town, committed suicide right before those.
Are you serious?
Governmental tests. Oh, yeah, they would just jump in front of trains and just be like, you know, like, what's the point? Or like, if they fail it, they're just, they're like, now I can't get into the university I always wanted. Like, what's the point?
Oh my god.
So yeah, in America, there is a not as much, you know, standards relating to tests, yeah. Especially now with the new law that came out recently that you're not supposed to take SAT to get into college or yeah. ACT unless the college requires it, which could put you at a better position to get accepted. So yeah, how did you learn English? Did your sister speak English already when you came here?
Yes. Well, my sister has lived here for a while. So the way I learned English, I started learning English way before I actually started school.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, when she was... Me and my sister have a 10-year difference, y'all. So she was already a grown-ass woman when I was, you know, going to school. The way I learned English is she taught me little words here and there when I was like 4 or 5 years old because she used to go to... these English classes that were taught by Americans. So a couple of Americans came to Ukraine and they taught in this school. And it was like temporary. It was probably like for 2 or 3 years. It was just That's like cool. their like mission or whatever.
Yeah.
Like missionary, you know, service oh. from church.
Oh, okay.
So they were having some kids to learn English. And she already had an accent. She kind of like developed that accent already because she was... learning through native speakers.
American accent.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Yeah. So she kind of taught me a couple of words here and there. And then, yeah, I learned English through first through 11th grade. We have 11 grades in Ukraine. And plus I took some extra like tutorings
yeah.
Here and there. And it was, yeah, I've just kind of taught myself too
yeah.
a lot because... I loved Marvel movies back in the day. Still love them, but it's not the same now. But it's a different topic. Mm-hmm. I would love just spending my time watching, you know, the interviews with Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans. And it was just so fun. And that's where I learned there's different accents, too, like Australian, British, American accent. And then when I came to America, I realized there's more. Mm-hmm. There are Southern, there's New York. There's all those accents, and I was Minnesota, North Dakota.
North Dakota. It's like Canada, but...
Right, I know. I still kind of don't understand Canada accent, though.
What do you mean you don't understand?
How is it different? I mean, I don't think I hear the difference.
From America?
Yes.
Oh, you... Do you... Who are the Canadian YouTubers? I know Call Me Chris. I don't know if you watch her. Linus Tech, he does computers and stuff.
Just tell me what it is.
It's goofy. It's funny. It's like Minnesota.
Okay.
And they say sorry.
I watched this show that was set in Minnesota and it was hilarious. Yeah. Well, it was not a hilarious show, but the accent was hilarious. Yeah. It was awesome.
I had one of my students from Wisconsin and my other students that are from Georgia... or, like, more southern states, they would mock him for saying flag instead of flag, or
flag.
Big instead of bag.
That's funny.
It was really cute. The accent is just, like, it's so noticeable when yeah. you live in Georgia for so long. So you didn't really have that big of a issue with the language barrier?
Well, when I realized here in Georgia they speak the southern... I had a lot of help with my sister. My sister, by the time that I came here, she had already had 2 kids and we were living with them for the first 2 years. And thanks to my sister, you know, she accommodated everything for us and stuff. And then she would go and get all the paperwork because we had to go get our IDs done, our social securities done. And the first time we went to get our social securities done, my sister was like, well, you want to try? Go, you know, do the thing yourself. And I was like, no. And I heard how people speak here and I was like, what? Like, I was like, wait. I definitely had the barrier. I definitely did. By the time I came here, I knew a lot of words, a lot of expressions. I had a pretty good vocabulary. pretty good grammar base. I knew what present perfect was. Even Americans don't know that.
Mm-hmm. There's 12 tenses in English. A lot of people
two and two are different words. Yeah. And I'm gonna... The two, the number, the two meaning as well, and two to the direction. Yeah. It's, yeah. I was surprised that's actually an error among Americans.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, whenever I learned English here versus learning English in the in Ukraine, here it would be like, you know, the grammar.
Yeah.
The difference between through, and though, and yeah. throughout, and yeah. stuff like that. And yeah. Or effort versus effort, you know, the yeah. verb versus the noun. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
People make...
silly mistakes.
People make silly mistakes. And then in Ukraine, it's just like, put this sentence in present perfect continuous in future.
Yeah.
It's just confusing because, like, whenever you're learning it back there, it... You really don't... Me, personally, I don't know how about y'all. I don't use that many tenses, you know. No. There's 12 tenses, correct? And seemingly... we are taught that we're going to have to use all of them, but we don't. And no. in everyday English, modern Gen Z, you know, language, we don't use all of those. So, you know, I would say I use like present perfect continuous, past perfect, I guess. But not that many of them. And we're like, and a lot of... people who are learning English generally are scared or like, there's all 12 tenses. Oh my God, am I going to use all of those? No.
No.
No, you're not.
For speaking purposes, it's just
basically. And then when you come to America, you're going to be speaking like, bruh, what's up, dog?
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be like, hi, how are you? I'm well, help you. Thank you. I'm all right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. not all that bullshit.
The textbook English.
Exactly. That's that's the Oxford, Cambridge textbook or whatever, but...
The problem I feel like, especially in Eastern European schools, is the focus on excellency. And because that's one of the virtues that schools, especially in Russia and countries that used to be under the Soviet Union, have, is that you have to be excellent at everything you do, including the language that you're learning. It has to be academic. It has to have proficiency to the level of understanding the entirety of the grammar completely. And that's how it was with us. Maybe not in my little town where I lived, which is like right outside of Moscow. It was just a public school that was really not giving a fuck about, you know, having a certain level, but students would go to tutors before taking the governmental exams because they're so scared shitless about the English exams. Funny story, actually, when I was, because I used to work as a Russian tutor in one of the universities that I used to study at here in Georgia, and we had a Fulbrighter here from Russia. She's 25, and my three Russian professors. So it was a little Russian office in a university with a Russian program. And we were teaching Russian. I was tutoring Russian to a lot of students who needed help with it. And our Fulbrighter, she came over to me and she's like, look, this is one of the questions on the governmental exam this year for English section.
Yeah.
And I look at it and it made no fucking sense. It was like, plug in whatever word or tense is more is better for this sentence, and the sentence runs really long. It's really confusing. It's obviously not written by an English speaker. It's written by a Russian speaker. So we started arguing about it because I was like, it's this answer. And then our Russian professor was like, no, it's obviously this answer. And then she was like, I don't know what answer it is. So I contacted my English professor from that university and I emailed him and I said, hey, this is the governmental exam this year. This is an English section in Russian governmental exam. Can you help us? What's the correct answer? Because the official answer key says it's this. But we think, as speakers of the English language, think it's this one. And he said, it actually can be either or. And it's really confusing. And it's definitely not written by an English speaker. And then we found out that the article that they pulled that paragraph from is written by a Russian speaker. Yeah, because, and then my English professor was like, yeah, the sentence is way too long. It actually kind of seems like a German wrote it, because they write it confusingly like that. So he had to substitute it, because grammar works a lot like algebra, and you have to substitute it with variables and then find out which one is which. That's how tenses work. So if you have a math brain, you can learn a language much easier than some people who don't have a math brain, because that's how I learn languages, is you have grammar, which is your function, and then variables are your words, and you just plug in the vocabulary that you already know. But yes, there is this excellency in Eastern European schools where you have to know all 12 tenses, even though in speaking world, you're not going to be speaking all 12 of them. Like, to this day, I only use like 3 or 4 max. Maybe for an essay, I would.
Yeah.
To make it interesting.
Some academic, yeah.
Yeah.
Pull some academic English.
Yeah, exactly. Or like gerunds and then other shit like that. Like, nobody really uses it on a day-to-day basis. Especially in Atlanta, dude. People in Atlanta.
Love Atlanta.
Atlanta is a lot of culture there. Atlanta, a lot of culture here. But yeah, I feel like I had a really big struggle with the language barrier.
Yeah, you were just 14. Tell me about this. Like, how was it for you? Like, did you struggle? Because you went to school right away.
Yeah, I did.
And you had to, like, literally, it was like a baby in the pool. You know, they dropped a baby in the pool and had to learn how to swim.
That's exactly how it happened. I was 13, turning 14 in October, but we came here in the middle of the school year in January. And I went to school 2 weeks after we arrived. So I went to school in February. Me and my brother had to take a test to see what grades we were in. So our math, aced it. Science, aced it. English obviously didn't. And then we had to take, other than the regular testing for all students, we had to take the ESOL test, which was the English second language, whatever. It's like the for non-English speakers to see what English level we're at. There are 6. We were at 2.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So we took it. There's different parts: reading, listening, speaking, and writing. I got a 2. I don't remember what David got, but it was pretty bad. So we had to be placed in ESOL class, which was an elective. And an elective where there was a teacher who's teaching English to us as non-English speakers, with a lot of immigrants that were in there. I met my friend there. She's from Brazil. I made a few other friends. And I took that elective for only one semester, because at the end of the year in 8th grade, I passed the English ESOL test and I got a 5 or 5.5. So in literally one semester, my English went up drastically because I was listening constantly.
That's awesome.
But it doesn't mean that my freshman and sophomore year in high school, I didn't struggle. I struggled a lot. The reason to that is because I didn't immerse myself immediately. I was really shy making friends with Americans because it seemed like I was daunting to them by not being able to understand or speak their language. So I would speak with immigrants who had a similar level of English as me. Like that Brazilian girl, or more Brazilians, and I was just hanging out with Brazilians all the time for some reason. And which, you know, they were really cool friends. And then I was friends with this girl. She was born in Texas, but she's Hispanic. And I really felt comfortable around her because she seemed like she wanted me to try to talk to her. And so we became best friends immediately. And over time, she told me how much my English has progressed. It was weird because at first I was using translator to talk to her. And now we just, you know, hop on a call or text or, you know, just easily. I almost lost my accent too.
Yeah.
Which to that is the help of my American boyfriend, probably. Also, me trying to get rid of my Russian accent because I was really self-conscious about it, thinking that people pay attention to my accent first instead of the words that I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which I know a lot of other immigrants struggle with, losing their accent because they feel like they're not themselves. When they feel like they're too themselves when they have the accent. Yeah. You know, like you're opening up a little bit. But if when you put on the
Americans think Slavic accent's hot, by the way.
So, some Americans. Some Americans, yeah. And I kind of agree, but at the same time.
Pick a guy who will think your accent is hot.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so, you know, the fact that some immigrants, especially teenagers, trying to lose their accent because they're self-conscious about it, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. You shouldn't have to lose the accent. You shouldn't have to worry about it because it's just who you are.
Exactly. It's a part of you.
It's part of your identity. I wish I had a cool accent like you.
Oh, shut up. I don't... Okay, I will kill her because I want to think I don't have an accent, and then she is, and my coworkers and my boyfriend remind me of that all the time. And I don't like thinking about it. But
no, it's
moving on.
The language barrier when making friends or trying to date someone with a language barrier, you feel like an idiot constantly. Yeah. You're like, what does that mean? I don't understand, but I'm just gonna laugh anyways.
Exactly. That was just like whenever I came here. The first reaction when you don't understand if from cop to a grocery store clerk saying anything to you, if you don't understand, just
nod and smile.
Nod and smile.
And wave. That's how my mom got around.
Oh, they're like, oh, they're immigrants.
Yeah,
exactly. I have this funny story. My mom, my mom had a very hard time adjusting and going to the grocery store by herself without me, and she decided that self-checkout is the safest area for her to not, to be minimally touched with, you know, by the clerks, because usually there's a person on self-checkout watching on, you know, if anyone needs help. Whenever, you know, like, you have to cancel an item or whatever, you need the help of the associate, and the person comes over, my mom tries to explain what her issue is. She's like, oh, I have two daughters, one of them speaks Ukrainian, I have three grandchildren, I have this, I have that. She will literally explain her whole life story. I came from Ukraine, I'm an immigrant. My mom will literally explain, like, she knows how to say, like, hi, I'm Ala, you know.
Just the regular paragraph.
Exactly, just the introduction and her mini short version of her life story, but not, like, hi, I need to cancel this item. Three words, and that's it. But she just loved to, you know, say all of this. And I was like, Mom, are you crazy? You can say all of that, and then you can say a simple sentence. Yeah. But we're getting there. We're getting there.
I feel like my students who are studying Russian for, you know, their job purposes, they are doing the same thing. Because they, for the proficiency exam test, to pass the Russian test, they just have to memorize a full paragraph to tell about their life story.
Exactly.
And they told me, they're like, if I get lost during this proficiency oral exam, I'm just going to start speaking this paragraph that I memorized from the top of my head. And that's it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm like, but if you go to Russia and you meet someone, you're not just going to be like, hi, my name is whatever. I'm from the state of Georgia. I study here. I work here. You're not going to just start saying that. Like, you have to actually learn a few useful sentences that would be, you know, easy enough to learn. But language barrier is such an interesting thing. I don't even think about it anymore. Me neither.
I think it just something that goes away, like the fear goes away with time. And for me, it took a while to kind of like be comfortable going, you know, even to the grocery, even having like a minimal interaction with someone who speaks, you know, a different language, and knowing that they may say something that you don't know. Like, what if they ask you, like, how your day is going?
Yeah.
Like actually ask you how you are, not just like, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
You know? And how was that for you? Like, how long did you have to, like, how many years or months did it take you to kind of be comfortable, actually be comfortable in your skin and knowing that you're Diana who speaks Russian, but also you're Diana who speaks, like, English?
I feel like probably 11th grade, 10th grade.
That's a while.
10th grade. A year and a half.
Yeah.
A year and a half, definitely. to be comfortable to be making friends with Americans. I was already comfortable talking to the teachers, but not to students, because, you know, every time you come over to a group of people that are your age, you still feel
intimidating.
Yeah, it's intimidating all the time. Like, I'm a waitress, I hate serving to people my age. But yeah, for making friends with Americans took me a good year and a half, and I'm a lot, like, very thankful to the friend group that invited me into their little friend circle, that really actually made me more American and text-wise, because I used to text very, very Russian-like, you know, a lot of, like, old trends that we used to have.
Y'all, just a little note, I think it's not only the Russian thing, it's only Ukrainian, but for the smiley face, we just use the bracket, or the curly bracket, you know,
mm-hmm.
without the...
Parentheses.
The parentheses.
Without the semicolon.
Without the semicolon.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be just the smile, you know, and then whenever you're, like, you're saying, good night, smile, 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 and, like, we would put, like, 15 of them, yeah. And that meant sarcasm. So, if you see a person texting you that, they're a Slavic.
Yeah.
Just know, or if you ever see that, like, multiple brackets, just know that.
Because I sometimes want to put a smiley face, but with the eyes and the parentheses, it looks dorky.
It does.
So if you just use the parentheses, it makes sense that it's a smile, but it's not like a, it's more like a, like, you know, like that type of smile. I used to text, like, my Brazilian friend for laughing, they would put like the K.
Yeah, that's true.
I used to do that.
Oh my god, that's so
and
funny.
And I stopped after a while when I realized it's not an American thing, that's actually a Brazilian thing.
Yeah. Now I just have you implemented to a different culture.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
which,
funny.
I mean, America is so perfect for that, you know?
Exactly.
You have so many people that are from different parts of the world, you know, teaching you about their culture, and especially Atlanta is just so big with diversity and culture, and inclusion is just so amazing. But yeah, that friend group is what made me funnier, more relatable to Americans, because I could not understand American humor.
Yeah.
I would just say something that's not funny at all, and they would laugh. I'm like, I don't understand, that wasn't funny. I was
You guys are just trying to be polite. I don't believe that's funny.
Or, like, I don't know, I would just say something that I really think at the top of my head, and they would just laugh their asses off, and I'm like, what? But now I get it, because I've seen German people speaking, and they're just funny unironically. They're not trying to be funny, but they're funny.
Exactly.
Like, I had
they're
a
just saying, like, I had breakfast, and it sounds like,
not just
or something,
that,
you know, like, just
the types of jokes that they do, but also with the accent is even funnier, because it's just, you know, I had a German professor from my astronomy class, and our kids in the class would laugh at everything he would just say, and he looks at them, and he's like,
what's so funny?
That wasn't funny. Like, it was pretty funny.
Me personally, like, one of my fears coming here was, would they understand my jokes here? Like, how do I translate my jokes? Like, because obviously some jokes are very specific to the language, to the culture, to you're playing with words.
Yeah.
You know, and how, like, I cannot translate those, you know, things in English, like, it's not that easy, it's not gonna be funny anymore. So that transition also took a while to kind of get comfortable with making jokes and just, like, speaking freely, like, not thinking, you know, like, not translating. Well, I would say I was at the point when I was thinking in English when I came here.
Really?
Yes. I just,
that took me, oh, actually, it took me a few months to be thinking in English.
Yeah, I would say at that point I was thinking English, or I was making myself, I was just, Okay, don't think that's weird, but I was talking to myself in English. Like, I was making myself, because there was not a lot of people back in Ukraine who could, you know, just... I was asking a couple of my friends, you know, can you just practice English with me? Could we just, like, take a day out of the week and just speak just English in that day? Obviously, there were not a lot of candidates or people who agreed to that, so the only, you know, person is yourself.
Yeah.
So that was a really good, you know, experience just with yourself, just like yapping about your day, you know, just like we're doing right now.
Exactly.
And that was a really good practice for myself to kind of start thinking in English and be like, oh, like, you know, and then just picking up the slang, also the slang. You know, because we all know, like, oh, swag or something, or back at, you know.
That constantly updates now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you
exactly.
say some shit that was, like, 2 weeks ago, you're fucking lame.
Yeah.
I know for
I'm
sure.
I'm demure.
cutesy little demure, it's the new thing.
I'm demure, I'm mindful. I was like, what the hell is that? I don't get it.
But it's
maybe I'll get away, I don't know.
I realize that to be able to understand and make jokes, you have to have a language proficiency for that.
Absolutely.
Especially you have to have culture understanding of that. Absolutely. And some sort of history, some sort of culture, some sort of pop culture references that you have to know in order to understand their jokes. For that, The Office really helped me. I was watching The Office constantly. That's how I learned
That's
English.
Awesome.
I learned English through The Office.
Shout out Steve Carell. John Krasinski.
Yes. Jenny Fisher and the rest of them. But
love them.
It was really fulfilling to me for my English part is to watch The Office. And then I completely switched to watching YouTube only in English. Because I even didn't notice how fast I switched to watching stuff on YouTube in English. And my dad, I remember we used to live back in townhouse, the first space we lived in when we came to America, he saw me watching stuff in English on YouTube. He's like, so that's what you kids are doing now, is you start watching stuff on YouTube already. It's been only a couple of months. And I'm like, yeah, first of all, I want to immerse myself as fast as possible. Second of all, it really helps me to understand pop culture. And that's how you learn languages in general.
You know what gave me the biggest push, I would say, in pop culture, understanding American culture and my generation here?
What?
TikTok. It was COVID time. And I had just downloaded TikTok, which I was really opposing to that. I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to get addicted to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I'm going to be... And I got it. And yeah. I was like, no, TikTok is so stupid. Like, what are those videos? Like, the coffee. Remember that trend with the coffee and pouring the hot water and blending it? The whipped coffee?
No.
Are you serious? From the COVID time. You don't remember that?
No.
Everyone was making that. Anyway, whoever remembers that, probably Diana lost her head.
We're
and she was not a part of the pop culture.
What is your For You page?
Anyway. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
So it gave me a really big push. Like TikTok, you know, I was addicted for TikTok for some time. Like I would go on TikTok and unknowingly spend like more than an hour, like 2 hours, 3 hours, unknowingly just scrolling my way through. But it gave me a really good understanding of what, like, you know, my generation thinks about, what they talk about, what they laugh about.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things. And then I remember I was attending GED classes at that time. And that was just when all the things started shutting down. And then I remember there was a girl of my age at the GED class, which was very rare because that's mostly, you know, people who are taking GED are like adults, you know, and they're trying to retake their high school program. And there was a girl my age and we started talking about something and I was like, Oh, I saw this like Disney thing, like sweatshirt embroidery on TikTok. And she was like, oh, I saw that. I love that. And I was like, that was the first time I felt connected to the culture. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, oh my God, I said, like, I saw this on TikTok. And it was the first time I had this like jokey, you know, little short talk interaction. I was so proud of myself for that, you know, and that's just amazing. Such a big thing, you know, like knowing that while like I don't only say hi, how are you, I'm good, how are you situation, and it's just such a big moment.
Yeah,
you know,
that's amazing. I to this day I still have the same feeling when I meet new people and we connect instantly. I'm like, oh my gosh, me 6 years ago, back when I came here, I would have been, like, crying and, you know, thinking about that. I think our time
is up.
Is up, and we're all good with today's episode. If you really liked it, please leave a like, comment whatever questions you want us to answer. We're going to start answering questions from the comment section.
We would love that.
Whether it's TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. I feel like those are the only socials that we're gonna have. Follow us on all of those socials in the link down below. I'm gonna post it there. We're gonna have our own social team. We're gonna also leave our personal socials on there as well.
Absolutely.
Thanks to David, my brother, who has been producing this entire time and sound mixing everything. Also donating his phone for a little bit to film this. And we'll see you in our next episodes where we're gonna talk about more stuff.
Thank you guys. Love. Double D's.